Is that, oh, that's coming. Interesting. Red light on this one means go. Okay. Or maybe somebody here with a diabolical sense of humor put a little piece of red tape over that to just mess with me, which I would deserve. You know, it's really a happy Easter to each one of you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. It's an honor to be here with you on such a Sunday. This is my wife's favorite holiday. I haven't given it that much thought. I mean, it's probably my favorite holiday too out there. It's also good to see old, very old friends. Okay. Deanne, yes. Hi, Deanne, and your lovely family, I'm assuming there. Very good. Good to see you. It's been a few decades. Yes. She's blushing, so my job is achieved on this side of the church. Now we go over here. Josh and Catherine, so good to see you guys. Yeah, dare I share a story about Josh? No, you know what? I think at this point, how many, by a show of hands, how many would like to hear a story about Josh? Yeah. Okay, good. And you do want to hear this. Coca-Cola Bible Camp, and it'd be like 25 years ago, Josh and Catherine, both who are veterans of Coca-Cola Bible Camp. And so Josh was helping in the kitchen. Of course, Josh was much younger. This is decades ago, right? The camp has gotten smarter about this by now. It's not near the commitment it was back then. But when we would have lasagna night, when we would have macaroni and cheese night, of course, we're using these great big aluminum pots. So the deal with that, though, it would always bake the lasagna or the noodles, cheese and noodles, would bake into the side of that aluminum. And it was absolutely miserable to get that off of those things. We would even, in an attempt to help, I mean, it was gruesome at best. We would even fill them full of hot, soapy water, let them soak overnight to help them pull that off. And it was always such, I was, yeah, it was such a miserable job. And I was in charge of the crew that was doing the kitchen at that point. And so lo and behold, Josh volunteered. Bless Josh. You know, that was such a servant's heart. And it is. I mean, you get another crown in heaven for that job. I mean, it's hours. It's legit hours, hard labor. Well, Josh Boyer being a man of, you know, remember Tim the Toolman Taylor back when he was on, you know, the old more power to the tools. So the kitchen crew had long since gone to bed. And Josh was, if I remember right, I think you were the only one left in the kitchen. If not, you're close to the only one. I think you were the only one. And Josh, thinking outside the box, remembered that he had a power grinder in the back. Josh, I told you for $2,500 I was going to get quiet. You didn't cough up the cash, so I'm ratting you out. Josh gets an electric power grinder, comes into the kitchen, and goes at those pots and grinds them to a luster that they have never seen, probably not even from the factory. And in the morning, Linda Nelson congratulated Josh for the fine job and how beautiful those all turned out. And up to today, it was just me and Josh that only knew what Josh did. And so we're coming clean now. So that's a true story, power grinder. I had to get that. That is so funny. I still remember Josh. I mean, doesn't that make that lasagna sound good? You know, a power grinder. So anyway, I have laughed about that ever since. You know, every, I don't know, 6, 8 months, something will remind me of that, and I'd get a little giggle and go, "Where's Josh Boyer?" So it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you guys, especially for Easter, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It's good to see all your bright, shining, smiling faces. The sermon I have this morning, and I'll pray here in just a second. I always put a title. It's a preacher's desperate attempt to try to give you guys a handle to grab hold of as far as trying to remember to apply what we believe the Lord has brought to us. And the title this morning is this: Jesus Knew That. Yeah, Jesus, K-N-E-W, that. Jesus knew that. And the concept is understanding and deeply appreciating what Jesus has done for us. I remember here, you know, I've been a Christian now 53 years. I'm 54, oh, yeah, 53 years. In August, it'll be 54 years. I'm 64 years old. Thank you for celebrating my birthday, by the way. I won't rat out anybody that gave me birthday presents, but there was someone that gave me a birthday present. Yeah, mom's the word. Mom's the word. Judy. And so anyway, I realized, you know, the Lord always, always, always honors transparency. He always does. When you become transparent with the Lord... I wouldn't want to say the word empowered. He's always empowered. But the Lord graciously then deals with us on our own levels. And interesting, you know, the Lord knows everything about you anyway, right? He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows all that. And so to be transparent. And I remember a few years ago, I don't remember how many, 5, 10, I don't know how many years ago, I was thinking one day, and you know, what most of us, not all of us, know Romans 12, 1 and 2, which states this: I urge you therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to present yourself a living sacrifice. You know, in other words, everything that Jesus has done for us, if we really think about everything that Jesus has done for us, the inclination of a Christian spirit-led heart is that we would submit ourselves to Jesus. Say, Jesus, you've done so much for me. The least I can do is give you my life. Here, Jesus, here's my life. Use me. And I remember, you know, I was praying, Heavenly Father, please. It was like the Holy Spirit. You know how the Holy Spirit works? The tap on the shoulder. And it was like, okay, Rob, do you have an appreciation for me for everything that I have done for you? And I thought, well, yeah, I got an appreciation. Yeah. The Holy Spirit kept working on me, and I came to the realization that I needed to grow in that appreciation. You know, this was just a few years back, 5 years ago, whatever. That I needed to grow in this appreciation. Let me pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for this time. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, please use me. Lord, these truths are so beautiful and they represent you. Heavenly Father, we pray that your son Jesus has resurrected and that he is alive right now. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that... your word will fall on fertile soil. So work in each one of our hearts to hear, Lord, and not just to hear what you have for us, but then apply it to our lives. Be so impressed in awe of you and fall in love with you that we submit to you, give you back our life, Lord. You deserve that. So Heavenly Father, help me just to move out of the way, Lord. Empower me to preach your word. Your son's name, amen. Have you ever wondered this, what heaven's going to be like? Have you ever wondered that? Yes, I have too. And it's so healthy to ponder this. How about another similar question? What are we going to be doing in heaven? Oh, what a fascinating, you know, there is the river of life. You know what I'm going to be doing? Right, yeah. And I don't know if there's fishing in heaven, but that's my idea of heaven anyway. And so what are we going to be doing in heaven? We know that heaven goes on for eternity. That's a long time. There is no end to heaven. Heaven just keeps going on and on and on and on. And it's so healthy to ponder this as well. Scripture even encourages us to do this. Colossians 3:1. Colossians, my wife's favorite book. Chapter 3 is her favorite chapter. The first verse in Colossians says, chapter 3 says, set your hearts on things above. Then verse 2 states this, set your minds on things above. Did you get that? The Apostle Paul, set your heart on things above and also set your mind on things above. After all, here where we're at right now, this is not our home. Our home is in heaven. This life, we are just passing through. And so it's so important to look forward to where we belong, and that is heaven. So what are we going to be doing in heaven? Do you want to know? Yeah, I do too. And this is only part. Okay, that's a very long study with all sorts of great truths. So this is only part of what we're going to be doing in heaven. I think I got four ultimately here. And this is introduction, by the way, still. So number one, here's what we're going to be doing in heaven. We'll be in the very presence of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We're going to get to hang with Jesus and speak with Jesus. Does that blow your mind? I mean, really? The creator, the cosmos? We get to hang with him? Yes. Secondly, I love this. Jesus gets very, very personal. This blows my mind too. Jesus calls each one of us by our name. What? The creator? The guy who made the entire cosmos by just saying it? He speaks my little name? Rob, how about come walk with me? Let's take a walk together. Oh, yeah, I'm all in with that. Okay, John 10:3, God sees our sin, but calls us out by name to his glory. Interesting, conversely, what does Satan do? Satan knows us by name, but he calls us out by our sin. Let me state that again. God sees our sin, but calls us out by name to his glory. Conversely, Satan knows us by name and calls out to us by our sin. Satan, that filthy beast. Three, heaven will be a... Oh, I love this too. This has got to be encouraging. Not got it. It is encouraging. Heaven will be a reunion with our saved friends and family. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. Your saved loved ones in heaven not only currently remember you, but they're also thinking of you and are look forward to being reunited with you. That's your loved ones in heaven right now. That's going on. This is exciting, isn't it? When a saved loved one dies, it's really not goodbye. It is truly, hey, we're going to see you later, man. Okay, we're going to see you later. Be encouraged. Fourthly, I love this too. I'm assuming all the rest of you do as well. We will have perfect health. Oh, won't that be nice? Yeah, here a few months ago, let's see, last fall, mid-fall, man, I blew out my knee. My meniscus is messed up. Now, the cool thing about that, I was fishing when I did it, okay? And so if you're going to blow a knee out, that's the best place to blow a knee out. It must have been a massive fish to ruin my knee, I hope. And we'll stay with that. But anyway, I got so many aches and pains. I enjoyed this too. A couple of weeks ago, I was preaching at a church and talking with a brother in the Lord who was in pain and moving slowly from a recent hip replacement. He's about my age. We were both comparing notes concerning each of our aches and pains. That's when you know that you're a geriatric, by the way. Okay? Amen? There's truth to that. So any of you not geriatrics and you start talking about all your aches and pains, guess what? Graduation day, you're a geriatric. Okay? I said to this gentleman, what's with calling these our golden years? At that point, he said, these are more actually should be referred to as our titanium years. You know, hip replacement, right? Knee replacement. I laughed and I said, you speak truth. And these are just four wonderful truths about the many truths that God has in store for us in heaven. 1 Corinthians 2:9 states, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Theologian J.I. Packer wrote this, the hearts of those in heaven say, okay, this is way cool, this is way true, I love this. The theologian J.I. Packer wrote this, the hearts of those in heaven say, I want this to go on forever, and it will. Another truth that we will be is that we're worshiping Jesus for all eternity. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave disciple John a vision into the future about the end times, which we are, in my opinion, on the threshold of the very end times. John, seeing the vision of the future, writes in Revelation 5:13. John states this, he says, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. This is called worship. And in heaven we'll all be worshiping and we'll be worshiping Jesus a lot and for all eternity. Can I be transparent and honest? Yeah, this is Missionary Rob. Let me be transparent about myself with you. For years, I have read the scriptures about the joys of heaven and sang the songs about the joys of heaven. And when I read or sang about how much we will worship Jesus for all eternity, I was taken back as well as perplexed and confused. I was thinking, for sure, Jesus is way important and way cool, so worship Jesus for a time, then get on with your day in heaven. And there's a whole bunch of other things that we're doing in heaven. And I've had more than a couple of people, including several doctors and nurses, I'm trying to justify my lack of knowledge. I've had several doctors and nurses suggest to me that I have ADHD. Yes. And when I went to the doctor to get tested, I've been tested, okay? You know how when you get to the doctor's office and you're asked the same question one at a time by three different individuals? First, it's the receptionist. And what is the lady receptionist, the front deck, says? She says, the question. Then pretty soon, the nurse takes you back to her little lair, and she hits you with the question. Then in a few minutes, in the privacy of the doctor's office, ask me now for a third time that question. I come to the conclusion that maybe they need to work on their communication skills. But the question each one of them ask is, and I quote, tell me, Mr. McDowell, what brings you in today? Suddenly my sarcasm, I do say this is true. Suddenly my sarcasm, I'm feeling empowered. I replied, well, what brings me in today is that I need a checkup from the neck up. And you guys are going to remember that, aren't you? I need a checkup for... Please help that not to be the only thing you remember from the sermon, okay? But I actually do say that. And also, the doctor there has a picture, two pictures of bunnies. One of them is turned around, and you see the cute little tail. The other one, the bunny is looking at you. And so I told the doctor, I says, no matter where I'm at in the room, that bunny stares at me. And that's probably not the best place to have that conversation. Ever been to a church service and been bored, maybe even bored out of your mind? That is a struggle, even just to come to church. And once there, you want out of there. That there is nothing there for you. I have. Does that blow your mind? I have. It is not uncommon that we view worship in heaven as some exasperating, long-winded church service that has no relevance to me and my life. like some tedious chore, as if the Lord commands us to worship him, and our tormented heart submits to an eternity of worship because we are told by Jesus to do so, then you're going to worship me. You're going to worship me. Growing up, we had a huge garden. It was a monster. It wasn't half an acre, but it had to have been every bit of a quarter acre. And I have three sisters. I'm the oldest. Then I have a sister 2 years younger, and I have a sister 10 years younger, and a sister 12 years younger. And so the one that's closest to me, her name's Linda. So when we were growing up and young, we were expected to have a garden weed-free. Okay, the phrase weed-free means different things to different people. For instance, my dad had a much higher standard for the meaning of the phrase weed-free than my sister and I did, which wasn't uncommon that dad would verbally express that Linda and my standard was substandard. It was unacceptable, so back out to the garden we went. Many hours each week, all summer, Linda and I labored in that garden. Since then, if I have to pull weeds for any more than a couple of minutes, I go crazy with boredom. Heaven is far better than the tedious boredom of my sister and I weeding the garden. Revelation 5:13 says, I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise, honor, and glory and power forever. Jesus allowed the disciple John the privilege to see into the future in heaven, all of us Christians worshiping Jesus. This is fascinating to me. This includes you and I, all of us Christians, all of us that asked Jesus to save us, and then throughout the thousands of years of, and all the people throughout the thousands of years of the history of man, millions of us Christians. Interesting thought. With the millions of Christians that John got to see, you and I are actually, this is right, prophecy, this is in the future, you and I are actually in that group of people. Fascinating. Maybe John was close enough to even distinguish your face 2,000 years ago in that vision. Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't it be fun when we get to heaven that the beloved disciple John says, hey, Rob, you look familiar. Have I seen you before? Wouldn't that be cool? Oh, yeah, I saw you in that vision. Yes. Basically, with this verse, Revelation 5:13, concerning you and I worshiping Jesus in heaven, is that immediately upon entering heaven and seeing Jesus, that Jesus literally is so spectacular. Okay? Jesus is so spectacular, so beautiful, so incredible that you and I won't have to force ourselves to worship or to conjure up or to endure or to be commanded to, but that we will be powerfully and sweetly captivated by the awesome beauty and majesty of our Savior. And we're going to be blown away with inexpressible joy to such a point that not only will you passionately worship Jesus for an hour or for a day or for a week or a month or a year, a decade, a millennium, and for eternity. This is how incredible Jesus is. This is our future. It's just a matter of time. This is secure. It's just a matter of time. We have friends and loved ones there already that are experiencing Jesus. Be excited about this. Randy Alcorn states, some subjects here become less interesting over time. Yeah, weeding a garden, okay? Others become more fascinating, okay? Do I need to say it? Right? Jesus was a fisherman. Just saying. Okay, that justifies me spending all kinds of money on fishing equipment. Well, that's for another conversation. Yes, nothing is more fascinating than God. The deeper we probe into his being, the more we want to know. One song puts it this way: as eternity unfolds, the thrill of knowing him will grow. Please hear these words. We will never lose our fascination for God as we get to know him better. The thrill of knowing him will never subside. The desire to know him better will motivate everything we do. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. Deeply appreciating what Jesus has done for us. The title again, Jesus Knew That. I have, looks like 8 quick truths here. Okay? Remember the title, Jesus Knew That. First one. Before the creation of the entire cosmos, Jesus was thinking of you. Before the creation of the entire cosmos, everything you see out, even the earth that we walk on, before the creation of all of that, Jesus was thinking of you and I and had a plan to save you and I. Ephesians 1:4 states, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Jesus knew that. Second, God the Father sent his son Jesus to be killed to provide the way for us to have eternal life, heaven. 1 John 4:10, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus knew that. Thirdly, Jesus was, thank you, Jesus. Jesus was willing to leave the glory of heaven and the worship in heaven to walk on this earth for 33 years, then to die for you and I. Jesus is God himself. He deserves all the worship, all the accolade, our entire life, and he came here? John 1:14, the word Jesus became flesh. It made his dwelling among us. Jesus knew that. Fourth, Jesus being God himself and profound and in profound ultimate holiness had the filth. If you really think about this, this will blow your mind. Jesus, number four, Jesus being God himself and in profound ultimate holiness had the filth of all the sins, past, present, and future of all mankind placed on him at the cross. I'm humbled, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin, holy, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of Christ. Jesus knew that. He knew that. In eternity past, Jesus knew that he was going to be doing this. And he did it for you and I. Fifthly, God's law states that death must take place for the forgiveness of sins. It's the law of God. Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus willingly, he wasn't coerced, he wasn't forced. Jesus willingly died in the most gruesome way, shedding his blood, providing a way for for forgiveness so that we can be in heaven. 1 Peter 2, 23-24, when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins on his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that going in from eternity past. Six, the rejection that Jesus experienced. Have you and I ever experienced rejection? Oh, yeah. I remember after a little league, I attempted to have some kind of a baseball career. I was terrible. I was scared to death of the ball. When that hard ball comes flying across there, you know, that leaves a bruise when it hits you. But I remember when I was small. I don't know, 10, 11. last game. And so the coach says, hey, let's go down to the pizza place in Deer Park, different pizza place than it is now. He says, hey, I'll buy you guys pizza. So we go down there, and sure enough, they have a couple of pool tables. So the team goes, hey, let's play a game of pool. And so I volunteered myself to play pool. And since I was poor at baseball, the assumption was by the people picking teams is that I would be poor at that too. And so I remember they picked, it was two teams and two on each team. So the captain picked this guy and this guy and this guy. I was the last guy picked. What they didn't know is I had a pool table at home. Yeah. So even though I was rejected, I put on a clinic for those other guys. Yeah. I brought them down hard. Yes. Yes. The rejection, that sixthly, that Jesus experienced. Have you and I ever experienced rejection? Yes. Jesus is God himself, always has been, always will be. When Jesus took upon himself to be human, he was born a Jew. John 1:11 states, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus knew that going into this. Jesus knew that. 7, Jesus was forsaken. This is humbling. I encourage each one of you to let these are such great truths. To let this soak, let it wash, soak, and permeate. So not just head knowledge of this truth, but also heart knowledge of this. If you have heart knowledge of this, you will fall in love with Jesus. 7, Jesus was forsaken. Jesus was forsaken. Jesus is God himself, right? He was forsaken. The eternal relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is so profound, so close, and so much love that our finite human minds cannot grasp it all. A relationship of vast perfection and beauty. Several times in the scriptures, God the Father states that he loves his Son Jesus. Several times in scripture, Jesus states that he loves God the Father. Jesus hung writhing, grasping for breath on that cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., 6 hours. And that, if I can remind you what the death of a cross was like, it was a combination of extreme pain and also suffocating. Because the muscles would atrophy and you would fall, you couldn't catch a breath. And then to catch a breath at the last moment, you'd have to pull up on the nails, screaming in pain. Then once you got dehydrated, which took place relatively quickly, then your muscles were cramping. So in the middle of the cramping, it's a grotesque way to die. Jesus did that for you and I. I got ahead of myself there. Jesus hung on that cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., paying for yours and my sins for 6 hours. Jesus is near the end. Jesus cries out and he says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you hear the pain? This is Jesus. This is what Jesus did for you and I. Jesus says to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was forsaken by his Father. Another translation uses, instead of the word forsaken, uses the word abandoned. When all of our sins were placed upon Jesus, the filth and the depravity of all that sin was so grotesque that God the Father in his holiness could not look upon his Son and had to walk away, leaving his boy, Jesus bumps. Jesus knew that. He knew that going in. Eighth and last one here. But, don't you love the buts in Scripture? But Jesus, but God. That would be a great sermon series. There's a lot of them. But this is not the end of the story. A number of times, Jesus told his disciples what was going to take place. Matthew 16, 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Raised to life. Jesus knew this. He knew this going in. There'd be a death and a resurrection. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is what we celebrate today. Easter. This was the very first Easter 2,000 years ago, proving that Jesus is God, proving that Jesus is our Savior, and that we will see him as he is in all of his glory, to be worshiped by us. Jesus knew this. Where are you guys at with your walk with Jesus? Possibly there's somebody here that has not yet trusted Jesus as their Savior. You know, when it comes to entrance into heaven, coming to know how you get to heaven, you have to wrestle with and come into agreement with three facts. So sin, Savior, response. Sin, Savior, response. You have to be honest about yourself that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. How about the missionary? Yes. I have sinned too. You know what? I still sin. I'm not proud of that. I ask the Lord to weed that out of me. And when I ask him, he forgives me. And we're restored. I love that. Sin means anything you think, say, or do that's against God's word. That's a whole lot. Yeah. The news gets worse. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Death means separation. It means a physical separation as well as a spiritual separation. When we sin, we're separated. We die. We're doomed. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Sin. So next is Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Last half of Romans 6:23, it states this, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift. We don't work for it. You can't go to church 9,000 times and say, hey, God's got to let me into heaven. You can't give all your money to the mission down here. That's a great ministry. There's one up here in Colville, one up here in Spokane. They do great, great, great work. If you sell everything you have and give the money and stand before the Lord and say, Heavenly Father, you can let me in now because I did this, I did that, I did this. No, that's working. You're not respecting that it's a gift. You're not respecting the work that Jesus did on the cross. That's why at the last, what Jesus said was, it is finished. Job done, work done. Jesus bumps. It's a free gift. Jesus did the work. Sin, Savior, lastly, response. So what do we do with that information? John 6:40, one of my favorite verses, states this. Jesus is speaking, and he says, it is my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son, Jesus, and believes in his name shall not perish but have everlasting life. I love that. The first time that verse really hit me, it was just like, oh, and I remember, that was like 40 years ago. I just like, oh, and it was so encouraging. It was so encouraging. I was dealing with the issue of lack of assurance of salvation. And I'm just going, Lord. And so I saw that. And what we see in that verse is the absolute simplicity of being saved. And Jesus says, it's my Father's will, his desire, that everyone who looks to the Son, Jesus, and believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Is there somebody here today? You don't have to raise your hands, anything of that nature. that has not yet trusted Jesus as your Savior. I did that 53¾ years ago, and I've never been sorry for it. Let's bow our heads at this time, please, and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. That your Son, Jesus, is our Savior. Lord, we don't deserve. Lord, what you have done and your Son, Jesus, has done is there's not enough words to communicate that. Lord, what a great gift that is. Heavenly Father, I pray this. Lord, if there's somebody here that has not yet trusted your Son, Jesus, as their Savior, and would like to do so today, Heavenly Father, I ask you this, that in the quietness of their hearts, they pray this prayer. And Heavenly Father, we know it's not the prayer that saves, but prayer is communication between us and you. So, Heavenly Father, I pray if somebody has not yet trusted your Son, Jesus, as their Savior, and they'd like to do that today, in the quietness of their heart, they pray this prayer. Jesus, thank you for everything that you've done. Jesus, I am a sinner. Jesus, I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the Savior. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for being buried. And I thank you for rising again that very first Easter, Lord. Heavenly Jesus, save me. Give me eternal life, Lord. I love you, Jesus. You're so lovable. We pray for this in your Son's sweet name. Amen. Happy Resurrection Sunday.